So this year, the Japanese American National Museum is celebrating 25 years since opening its doors to the public. And there are some very special things going on right now. We are joined today by Ann Burroughs, President and CEO. And then also with us is Jeff Yang. He is an author, and you're a journalist, and you're a curator of New Frontiers. So we'll talk about that exhibit. A lot of things going on right now at the Japanese American National Museum. So do you want to talk to us first, Anne, and tell us, you know, about the anniversary, and there's a gala?
Well, you know, it was 25 years ago that the museum first opened its doors. Interestingly enough, around the time of the LA uprising, it was the end of April, 25 years ago. Uh-huh. So I think it was a very fraught time in Los Angeles, but obviously very, very powerful time for the Japanese American National Museum and certainly for the Japanese American community. So it's 25 years, and our gala that's coming up at the beginning of May is celebrating that. It's celebrating the 25 years of our history and looking towards the future. It's going to be at the Bonaventure in downtown on May the 6th, and we're going to be recognizing some pretty extraordinary people who've been associated with the museum and who've been very, very pivotal in the Japanese American story. Right. In Los Angeles.
So how would you get tickets?
You can get them on our website, janm.org, Japanese American National Museum.org.
And one of the exhibits right now, the All Persons Reflections of the Executive Order 9066. Do you want to talk to us about that, discuss that a little bit?
Sure. It's an extraordinary exhibition, which I think now is extraordinarily urgent and topical. In 1942, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt signed what's come to be known as Executive Order 9066. And it was essentially the order, the legislation that paved the way for the forced removal and incarceration of almost 120,000 people of Japanese ancestry. And they were moved into concentration camps for the duration of World War II. So the exhibition is looking at that. It's commemorating the 75th anniversary of that. It's looking at that period of time in history when the Constitution failed Americans. Very, very significant miscarriage of justice. It was a time where Japanese American families were moved, dispossessed. They were moved from their homes. Families were broken up. Communities were broken up, and it was something that was to have very, very deep scars on the community for a very, very long time. So the exhibition commemorates that, and it brings it relevant and into current focus. The centerpiece of the exhibition is the actual executive order itself, the last two pages of the three-page order, which has President Roosevelt's signature on it. And it's this extraordinary document, in some senses banal, but not banal because of the incredible consequences that it had.
And this is the first time it's been on the West Coast, is that right?
Yes, it's the first time the executive order's been here on the West Coast. Mm-hmm. Certainly it's the first time, obviously, it's been in the museum. And the exhibition itself is a very, very moving experience, a passageway, a journey for people to interact with that, to interact with the consequences. There's one wall that is dedicated to the instructions, which were those specific instructions to different communities of people up and down the West Coast that gave them very specific instructions of where they needed to congregate, what they could take with them, and the day on which they needed to congregate. That was the instruction that was the precursor to sending them off to camp.
That's very powerful. How scary that was. And it ties in, the All Persons ties in also to the New Frontiers. Jeff, the exhibit that you're curating, the George Takei exhibit.
Yeah, so New Frontiers is, as somebody who spent a lot of time, obviously, in the process of helping to put it together, kind of an extraordinary collection that cuts across eight decades in the life of an extraordinary man. And that man is George Takei.
Yeah.
He is perhaps best known to listeners as Sulu from Star Trek, Mr. Sulu, helmsman of the Star Trek Enterprise. But at the same time, the exhibition shows how, by virtue of the fact that he has had such a long and full and rich and incredibly dynamic life, he's actually been a part of issues and contexts that have in many ways shaped America as we know it today. From his childhood in incarceration, in a concentration camp, he spent years of his life from 5 years old until he was just about, you know, I believe 8 years old, mm-hmm. in Arkansas at Rauer Wartime Relocation Center, and then later at Tule Lake. And that experience really shaped who he is today and who he has been over the last 70-odd years. And what he has really kind of affirmed through each of these different decades, these different worlds he's gone through, is that there is a need for social justice. There's a need for raising our voices. There's a need for responding anytime there's been an incursion on the rights of people. Those came out of his experience in the camps, but they also, again, have been shaped by his experiences in Hollywood and his experiences at the vanguard, in many ways, of fighting for LGBTQ rights and marriage equality. And more recently, in his life as a creator of original content, both on the stage in the form of Allegiance, the Broadway musical he helped develop, and, of course, his extraordinary presence mm-hmm. on social media as an icon of this latest digital era.
Yeah, he did a TED Talk, too, talking about how he felt betrayed. His whole family felt his country betrayed him. So in the exhibit, so you have some of that relates to that part of his life, his family's life. And then also he ran for L.A. City Council at one point, right?
He did, and uh-huh. he was actually appointed after that. He did not win,
right?
Although he came very close. But it was only part of a long career, actually, of political involvement and activity, which included being appointed by Mayor Tom Bradley to mm-hmm. the Southern California Rapid Transit District. And in that role, it's kind of funny, Bradley apparently said to him, "The reason why I think you'd be good for this role is because, you know, you've steered a starship for the last,
right,
you know, for decades, and, mm-hmm. and you must know something about transportation." but even that had a social dimension, because the way he saw it and what it turned out to be is about connecting communities, mm-hmm. many of which otherwise wouldn't have access, diverse communities of color, Spanish-speaking neighborhoods with access to, again, things like centers of culture and centers of politics that otherwise, again, they wouldn't have the ability to reach.
The exhibit is personal, and it's got a lot of depth to it, showing what happened during his life and his family's life, how they were affected. And then also he's, like you said, he has the whole actor component being Sulu, and one of the first big Japanese-American actors, right?
Yeah, one of the first pioneering Asian-American actors, in fact. That's what's really kind of amazing about this exhibition. It has several hundred artifacts, many of which have never been seen before. Mm-hmm. Certainly, these have been amassed in a lifetime of carefully keeping, shall we say, memorabilia in every phase of his life. And that's both George and, of course, his wonderful husband, Brad, who in many ways was kind of the curator before the curator mm-hmm. of this exhibit. But they had thousands and thousands of rare and amazing things, and they backed up several trucks and mm-hmm. brought them all to the museum. And we've assembled from that a journey through these five different worlds of George's life that hopefully does justice to his incredible story.
That really brings it home. The way you describe it, they brought the trucks and they backed them up and got everything into the museum. What inspired you to get involved in curating this?
I was deeply honored to even have been asked to curate this. I've known George for quite a number of years now, because a lot of the worlds that he has lived in mm-hmm. impinge on, you know, overlap with worlds that I've been a part of. I've written about Asian American popular culture for many years. I'm a huge fan of Star Trek. Mm-hmm. As a journalist, as an author, I've long admired him, and over the years we've become friends. But when Janum asked me to curate this, it felt like being asked to be a part of history. And that was the lens that I tried to bring to it, that we're not just telling the story of an incredible man, mm-hmm. but his incredible and rather epic voyage across these decades of American history.
Some of them were new frontiers for him.
Yes.
And so it's Take?
Take,
yeah.
Yes.
So people get his name right most of the time, or is he constantly saying?
Yeah. No, I mean, he's, I think he famously corrected his longtime co-star, William Shatner.
Did he really?
it's something that's gone down in history as a little bit of a feud between them, but yes.
So Shatner was getting his name wrong, and
yes.
he said, "Hey, you know me for like so long, you know, get it right." That's
yes.
funny. And you also have kind of a personal connection to a lot of this. You worked with Amnesty International, right, at one point?
Yes. I was on staff of Amnesty International mm-hmm. for 8.5 years, but I'm now currently the chair of the board.
Right.
The board of directors of Amnesty International USA. So I've had a very, very long association with Amnesty.
You took a stand against mm-hmm. apartheid when it was happening.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I did. I was a young activist and was very involved in the anti-apartheid struggle and the anti-apartheid movement in South Africa. And was in fact, my first association with Amnesty was, I was part of a group that was monitoring state repression. And we were smuggling information out in diplomatic bags, and Amnesty was one of the recipients. And of course, Amnesty was very focused on repression in South Africa at the mm-hmm. time. And then finally, I was arrested several times, and then finally in 1986 for a period, and Amnesty took up my case and helped secure my release. So I have this incredibly long association with the organization, but also a very, very deep debt that I sometimes think that I may not ever completely be able to work off. So for me, being here now at the museum is really quite extraordinary, because, you know, when I look at the Japanese-American story and I look at the incredibly powerful and almost singular voice that the community has to be able to talk about social justice issues, to be able to talk about ways in which the Constitution failed Americans then, and the need to focus and to be speaking up about it. It resonates for me very, very deeply. And also, you know, being able to be at this museum that both has this, that has this extraordinary mission, but also has this charge to preserve this legacy.
So All Persons, how long is that going to be on exhibition for?
That's going to be on exhibition until about August 13th. So it's the middle of August. It's an extraordinarily moving exhibition. Mm-hmm. I think it is for anybody.
And how long will the New Frontiers exhibit be up?
It will be up actually around the same time, through August 20th. We'll be continuing to do additional things over the course of the run of this.
Thank
I will
you.
Say this, though. Mm-hmm. I remember in the press conference, we were talking about the exhibition, waxing poetic about how, you know, this just is such an amazing tapestry of a man's life. And, you know, George sort of at the end of that turned to me and said, you know, I'm still alive.
Yeah.
So there may be more chapters of this to go.
Well, thank you for sharing and talking to us and letting us know what we can see. The Japanese American National Museum.